This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, if I can have the brothers are on the left side, my left side of the masjid, move over to the right side, inshallah. So we'll be opening up the door for the sisters to come in. We've been having this series, Ramadan Roadmap, inshallah, we'll be carrying on today as a final session. So the brothers are on my left side, inshallah, if you can move over, we'll have the sisters come in and just set up a table, inshallah. We'll start in the next minute or so. Please remain seated.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is worthy of all the praise and gratitude. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He brings us to the holy month of Ramadan with khair and afia. We are just a few days away, and along the roadmap of Ramadan comes the final stretch where it's the weekend, and then Ramadan is here. And the roadmap of Ramadan was to prepare ourselves for this blessed month, because the last thing that we want is that we come into the month of Ramadan unprepared. And then every year, the same question or the same sentiment is shared, that Ramadan went by so quick. And the reason we have that feeling is many times Ramadan passes us by without us making the most of it. So in the final stretch of the welcoming of Ramadan, today the discussion is about Ramadan and the Quran, building or planning your relationship with the Quran. And the Quran plays a huge role in the month of Ramadan. As we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran, that the Quran was revealed down in this month. So this gives us a unique relationship with the Quran in Ramadan. So people often ask that, you know, what part of my life should I work on? Last week, we had a youth program, and I was telling the youth that before Ramadan, you should give yourself a rating. Imagine going to a restaurant and you go to Google, and on Google you leave a review. And you say the atmosphere was, the ambiance was 4 stars. The service was 3 stars. The food quality was 5 stars. The way that you leave a review for something else and you leave a rating for something else, as the month of Ramadan comes around the corner, you sit down and you give yourself a rating. When it comes to my salah, what is my rating? When it comes to my Quran, what is my rating? And not just our ibadah, but every aspect of our life. When it comes to my relationship with people, how am I as a father? What's my rating as a father? You don't have to show anybody. What's my rating as a husband? What's my rating when it comes to the disease of the heart? What's my rating when it comes to my tongue? And you give yourself this breakdown, and then after the month of Ramadan, you reevaluate yourself and you ask yourself, was there any improvement? And if there wasn't any improvement, then we have a problem. Many scholars say that you should work on one aspect, but I believe that Ramadan comes to increase us and give us progression in every aspect of our life. Not just our ibadah, but every aspect. Sometimes people ask me, should I work out in Ramadan? And I ask them that, do you work out outside of Ramadan? If yes, then continue. If no, then don't start. Because Ramadan is every part of Islam. Islam comes to enhance our life, not restrict our life. A lot of times people think that Islam is restricting. Islam is not restricting, but it enhances. And the month of Ramadan serves that same purpose, that when the month of Ramadan comes, it should enhance not just your ibadah, but every aspect of your life. It should enhance your physical well-being. It should enhance your social. It should enhance your mental. It should enhance every part of your life. There should be some sort of growth in the month of Ramadan. Now, we look at Quran and the relationship that we have in the Quran. And every Ramadan we say that this should be one of the main focuses. And in the beginning of Ramadan, we set these very high goals of I will read one juz a day. And what tends to happen is, around day 3 or 4, we stop. And then we now play a catch-up game. But somewhere along that catch-up game, we give up. So we started off with this high goal. I'm going to read one juz a day, that way I can finish the Quran in Ramadan. Or we start off with this high goal that I'm going to stay for all 20 rakats in Taraweeh. And if you can, alhamdulillah, that's amazing. But if you can, then that's fine as well. But the number one thing that I tell people is that have a realistic game plan. Having this super and this like crazy Muslim game plan where you set yourself up for failure and then, maybe I wasn't meant for it. A lot of times we give our children unrealistic goals when it comes to their spirituality. By giving realistic goals, that Berta, I want you to read for as long as you can, but I want you to read every day. Do you do your zikr today? How much zikr? That's up to you. Do you read your du'as today? How much du'a do you make to Allah? That's up to you. Do you read your Qur'an today? How much Qur'an? That's up to you. Instead of saying that I need you to read this much. Again, if your child's doing hifz, then that's a whole different story. So, we look at some realistic and practical ways to connect with the Qur'an. The first practical way of connecting with the Qur'an is listening to the Qur'an, and that listening has to be attentive. So number one is that while you're driving to work, while you're coming back, picking up the kids, this is all time that you have to, you know, be in the car. And instead of making a phone call, instead of, you know, doing what we usually do, switch that time to listen to the Qur'an. Now, there is a passive listening to a Qur'an and there is an active listening to a Qur'an. Passive listening to a Qur'an is while you're in the car. Nothing wrong with it. Right? Then you have active listening to a Qur'an, and the active listening to a Qur'an is that in your day time, you take out some time where you are sitting with the Qur'an and you're following along. Because being realistic, reading the Qur'an itself, for majority of us, it's a task. It's a hard task. Now, one hadith comes to mind where the Prophet ﷺ says, a person that reads the Qur'an, they get one ajr. By reading the Qur'an, you get one ajr. But a person that reads the Qur'an, and while they're reading, they struggle. It's difficult. It's not easy. They get stuck. And when they get stuck, they try again, and they try again, and they try again. The Prophet ﷺ says, for that person, there's two ajrs. They get two rewards. So, number one is, when you sit down and you listen to Qur'an actively. You're following along as the person reads Qur'an. Now, this can be done in a few ways. If there is a hafiz in your family, or there's a hafiz within your circle, a good opportunity is to tell them, you read and we follow along. I'm not sure if you all know, but the sisters, alhamdulillah, they've been doing this since the beginning of COVID. Every day in the month of Ramadan, the sisters, they have three or four hafizahs that they read, and around 60, 70 ladies, around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they follow along and they read through a juz every day. And they complete the recitation of the Qur'an actively listening. So you have passively listening and then actively listening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an says, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنِ, when the Qur'an is being read, then be quiet. فَاسْتَمِعُوا, and listen carefully. Right? So you have the passive and then you have the active listening. Now, number two, recitation of the Qur'an. وَرَطِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْطِيلًا, and this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Allah has revealed the Qur'an to be read in a particular way. The month of Ramadan is a good chance for you to learn to read Qur'an. And if you know how to read Qur'an, then perfect your reading. And if you, alhamdulillah, are reading it correctly, then you memorize the Qur'an. Recently, I was talking to my brother Mufti Hussein, and he was telling me that in Syria, what they do is they memorize one page of the Quran every day, no matter what the age is. You don't have to be in hifz class. You don't have to be here at the masjid. Your goal is every day memorize one page of the Quran, and then whatever happens, happens. He says that they finish the whole Qur'an like that. Just by doing one page a day. No muraja, no sabak para, or door as they call it. Just reading one page of the Qur'an every single day. Once they complete the whole Qur'an like that, then they go back and they read it a second time. How long would that take if a person were to commit themselves to memorize one page of the Quran every single day? That, in my opinion, maybe take an hour to 2 hours out of a day. An hour to 2 hours out of a day if we were to just memorize one page. I asked him, what's the benefit of that? And he said that at least you write your name with the Huffaz. That you dedicated that time to the Quran. So here, Ramadan, again, is a great time to memorize the Quran, make a breakdown, make a schedule. This making a schedule is important. Having a set time where you dedicate to the Quran will be the differentiator if you are successful or not. If you just have that, I will read any time in the day, what happens? The any time of the day doesn't come. But if you have a set time, I get back from work at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, before I take my nap, I'm going to read my Quran. Or after I wake up from my nap, your brain is fried from work, you go for a nap. After I wake up from my nap, I'll read Quran, and I'll pray Asr and then read Quran until Maghrib Salah. Having a set time, a dedicated time in your schedule. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran says, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. How much Quran should you read? Read whatever is easy. But you have to read. This is a very beautiful ayah. And this tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just asking for any type of relationship with us. You know, a lot of times people are very needy in a relationship. I need you to be there for me all the time. Whenever I call, you have to pick up. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, hey, just call time to time. Whatever is easy for you. We don't have to talk for hours. We can even talk for a couple of minutes. But come in, read faqra'u ma tayassara min al-Qur'an. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in one hadith that, read the Qur'an, for verily it will come on the day of Qiyamah and it will intercede on behalf of its companions. In the Quran, there are particular verses that the Prophet ﷺ tells us, furthermore, that they will intercede. For example, Surah Mulk. Rasulullah ﷺ says, whoever reads Surah Mulk at night, it will come in your grave and it will be a barrier between you and the punishment of the grave. But in this verse, hadith right here, Rasulullah ﷺ is telling us that read the Quran, have a relationship with the Quran. You know, the idea behind it is not to have a relationship in Ramadan, but to begin that relationship in Ramadan. Not to have a relationship in Ramadan, but this is the beginning of the relationship that then carries out. And the only way that you will be able to carry on this relationship is if you have a realistic amount of Quran that you read. Before I said one page a day, if that's too much, make it half a page. One page a day, roughly the Quran has around 600 pages. Make a half a page. By that time, it may take 4 years for you to memorize the Quran, but you'll memorize it at a comfortable pace. If you go super Muslim mode in Ramadan, then after Ramadan you can't maintain that, and what happens? Break the relationship. So, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. The Prophet ﷺ says in one of these, the أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The most beloved actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the ones that are done perpetuously, even if they are small. So read as much as you can. However, the last 10 days, that's a whole different story. Then you go all out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali radiallahu anhu said that when I want to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I praise Allah. When I want to talk to Allah, I praise Allah. When I want to hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking to me, I open the Quran. So anytime I want to complain or I want to share my life with Allah, I come to Salah. But whenever I want to hear what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to say to me, I read the Quran. And we talked about this hadith before. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person who struggles when they read Quran, there's no shame in it. At least, you know, it's like the example of a person who's overweight and goes to the gym. People say, oh, I'm going to look bad. But at least you're at the gym. Similarly, a person that struggles and reads Quran, at least you're reading the Quran. That's better than saying that, oh, I look bad, I feel ashamed, and I'm not just going to read it at all. The Prophet ﷺ says, whoever reads a letter from the book of Allah, for every letter there is 10 good deeds. And then he goes, breaks it down, alif, lam, mim, each of these are 10 good deeds each. Now the question comes, and this is a question you ask yourself, what are my goals when it comes to the Quran and Allah? I want to maybe memorize the 30 juz. And if that's too much, I want to be able to fluently read the 30 juz. If that's too much, Yasin, Waqia, Mulk, Rahman, Kahf. 5 surahs. My goal this Ramadan is either read them fluently, and if, mashallah, Islam, you're super smart, then you memorize it. But having some sort of goal is going to be important, right? Now, these 5 surahs are just an example. If it's up to you, if you're not comfortable, then it could be even the last 10 surahs. I share this all the time. My father learned to read the Quran in his 60s. He didn't get a chance early in his life, and his grandchildren taught him how to read Quran. But alhamdulillah, he's able to read Quran now. So whatever your personal goal is, that's fine. Now memorizing the Quran, we already spoke about this, that how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in one hadith he says that on the Day of Judgment, a person memorizes the Quran, they'll be told, iqra, read, and climb. And as every verse that you read, you climb a different rank in Jannah. The Jannah gets better and better and better. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that on the Day of Judgment, a person who memorizes the Quran, their parents who gave them this guidance. Parents could have led them to anything else. Could have led them to Kumon or Russian math or some sports, right? We put our children in soccer and basketball. But parents that lead their children to the Quran on the Day of Judgment, they will be given a crown. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the brightness of the crown will be like the sun. The brightness of, because you are the parent of a hafiz. Now I share this all the time that it may seem daunting that I have to help have my child memorize the Quran, but you have to make that commitment. You make that commitment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes things easy. My parents, you have to make that shift in your generations to come. The other day, one of my friends sent me a video of his son doing qiyam. And I told him, what you've just done is you created a shift in your generations to come. From now on, there'll be huffaz in your family tree. So that shift, that's up to you. Or it continues on with random things. So this is the virtue of, again, memorizing the Quran. Now, you can also just have some goals of trying new surahs. I've been in my comfort zone in the last 10 surahs. This Ramadan, I may add maybe 5 more surahs, 3 more surahs, whatever they are. Right? So memorizing the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ, we talked about this hadith that he'd be told to continue to rise and read and rise through the ranks of Jannah. Number 4. Competition. And this is where we like to compete with one another. This is contemplation. Sorry, not competition, but contemplation. And that is to read some sort of tafsir. One of the things that I feel that is very underappreciated is the translation of the Quran. When we sit down to read the Quran, majority of the time we have a Quran night here at the masjid, and we'll have beautiful recitation of the Quran, but there's no translation of the Quran. My children were born here in America. As much as I want them to connect with the Quran in the Arabic language, but in reality, they have no idea what they're reading. They have no idea what they're listening to. So taking some time out in reading the translation, you know, when we have the youth qiyam and the youth iftars, one of the things we do is that we read the translation, a follow-along translation of Surah Yasin. A couple months back, we did Quran in your language. And we went through Quran in very basic English. So contemplation, you know, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do they not reflect on the meaning of the Quran? Right. Application, and this is bringing the Quran into our lives. And this is the most important part. Reading, beneficial. Contemplation, beneficial. But the most beneficial is acting upon it. And the Prophet, Allah in the Quran says, مَثْلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُ التَّوْرَاتِ كَمَثْلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. If you learn it, you read it, but you don't act upon it, then the example Allah gives, كَمَثْلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. It's like a donkey who has books on his back. Do the books benefit the donkey? No. And that's where the application comes in. That you know, Ibn Abbas, he used to say that I would memorize one ayah and I wouldn't move to the next ayah until I implemented the first into my life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa tawasu bil haqq, I call people towards the truth. He said, wa tawasu bil sabr, I call people towards the patience. And then I moved on to the next verse. So application, bring it into our lives. Right, we talked about this ayah before, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِلُ التَّوْرَاتِ كَمَثِلْ هِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. In one hadith, Prophet ﷺ says, الْقُرْآنُ حُجَّةً لَكَ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ. The Quran on the Day of Judgment, it will either be a means for you, it will help you out, or it will be a means against you. It will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, oh Allah, this person had no relationship with me. So, oh Allah, disgrace this person, punish this person. But to summarize today, we want to make some realistic goals when it comes to the Quran. But there has to be some sort of goals. As easy as they may be, there has to be something that I'm going to listen to, I'm going to read, I'm going to follow along, the translation, applying the Quran. But there has to be some sort of game plan for the Quran. And one of the things that I share is there are a few du'as that the Prophet ﷺ teaches us. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika husna ibadatik. Oh Allah, help me in worshiping you. Help me in remembering you. If you struggle with worship, there's nothing wrong with you. That's how Allah has created us. But that struggle being there requires us to ask Allah for help. You know, with the Safwa students, it's one thing that I've been going over with them, teaching these du'as that you want, ask Allah to help you in worship. So we tried Ramadan and Quran so many times in our life before. I've tried it 38 times before. This will be my 39th time. But this time, you know, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. Oh Allah, help me achieve my goals in the month of Ramadan. So to once again, have some sort of game plan. Have some sort of goals first. This is my goals. This is what I want to reach. How do I get there? That's my game plan. This is what I was doing to achieve my goals. And have a schedule that you will follow. On the way to work, I'll listen. When I get back home, I'll follow, and then I'll read sometime, I'll memorize sometime. You know, whatever it may be, however little it be. I'm gonna do two ayats a day, three ayats a day. I'm gonna do all five of these things. Listen, read, memorize, contemplate, you know, and go through the translation, application. These five things I'll bring into our lives. Again, this one, inshallah, make Ramadan fruitful for us. JazakAllah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.